This is James Throgmorton, and today I want to talk about adversarial and argumentative religion. You know, when we learn a point of truth, and we can prove it to ourselves, it's human tendency to want to share that. I remember when I first began to open up the Bible and look at the pages of the Bible and see that the Bible actually taught me something that if I looked at what it said, the church I was going to or the churches I had contact with or could learn anything about, that they didn't teach. And I saw that people didn't look at the Bible the way they would look at an encyclopedia or a dictionary. That they would look at the Bible and say, well, and I've had people say this to me, I know that's what it says, but I'm not going to do it. Or, I know that's what it says, but I don't believe it. I've heard that numerous times. And there is a tendency that when we learn something, that we want to share it with other human beings. We fail to realize that human beings are herd animals, that people just do what the crowd does, do what everyone else does. And so it's quite a transition in thought to come from the point of where you just blatantly accept everything that everybody says. Don't question anything. Don't go to the source. You know, I don't think anybody would go to a movie and be able to appreciate the movie if they only went in and saw 15 to 20 minutes of it in the middle of the movie. No beginning, no conclusion. Of course, a lot of the modern movies are that way, but you know, I always judge a movie or by its story. Does it make sense? Does it have a flow? The same thing. You wouldn't read a book, whether it be fiction or nonfiction. Nonfiction would make more sense, but you wouldn't read a book and just read one chapter and then stand up and tell everybody what the book said, what the book was all about. You really couldn't do it. You really couldn't do it. You could only give a little glimpse of it. Well, the Bible's no different. The Bible's no different. In fact, I'm probably the next sermon that I put online will be about the story flow of the Bible. And it'll probably take about two sermons to do that. And it will be going through the Bible from the very beginning to the end and see how it's all connected, its story flow, it's part of a plan that God has. There have been more wars fought over for religion. In fact, all wars basically are fought over religion. People fail to realize that the Nazi movement was a religious movement, certainly not Western Christianity, but going back to the old Aryan religions, and Hitler was trying to replace Western Christianity with his own kind of religion, a state religion. Dictatorships always have a religious connotation to them, that people are subject to the dictator. That's the nature of the game. That's the definition of a dictator. But it's really important in religion, if you want the religion of God, and I might mention that, all of us thought process have what we call our religious beliefs. None of us are probably right in everything. In fact, I can say that dogmatically, that none of us are right in everything. But those people that are sincerely basing their religion on the Word of God, conducting their lives in submission to God's Word, trying to obey God, not man, those people will be the ones that come close to having God's religion, because after all, the only religion that counts with God, there is not freedom of religion. You either have His or you have counterfeit. Now, with that said, when people learn a point of truth, and we've seen that in religions. We could go all the way back to the Protestant movement, which was a justifiable thing. It was only a first step. We could look at the Puritans that came to the United States and actually are responsible for a lot of the freedoms of religion that we have in this country today. If you haven't read up on some of the history of that, you might look at it, because it's very important, because in this day and age, for the Church of God, one of the greatest assets that we have is to live in a country that has freedom of religion. Because, and we need to realize that freedom of religion is for you and me, but it's also for everybody. It has to be that way if it's to be beneficial to us, so that we can faithfully serve God without being interfered with by someone else. Now, there are always those people that try to interfere with us if they disagree. You know, I've been in the ministry in my fifth decade now. It's been a long time. Most of that time I've had a church address or a post office box, and people knew how to get in contact with me, and I couldn't even begin to count the hate mail that I've received over the years, and the adversarial letters and criticisms, more from certain church groups than others, people that were trying to sell their brand of religion, and I still get a lot of that mail personally, and also to the church. It all goes in the trash can. I can read a paragraph and know where it goes. And if it's a person wanting to learn, or that is sincere, if it's an adversarial or argumentative, I don't argue religion with anyone. I will share what I know and understand. But I don't argue with anyone, because I've said 100 times plus that only God wins a religious argument. He's the only one that can win. You and me are going to lose if we try to argue, and if you try to argue with some carnal human being, some would-be self-appointed teacher, or some even preachers in other organizations, other churches. I know there was one fellow that lives about 20 miles from here that I used to get letters from him all the time, and it just really bugged him because I taught keeping the fourth commandment. And it's a pretty simple thing. The fourth commandment is, it's relatively simple. You can either decide to do it or not to do it. And I won't argue with anybody about it. I don't discuss religion with anybody. When the people are out in front of Walmart or Sam's Club or any other store propagating their religion, I never pick an argument. Now, I've had some of them try to pick an argument with me, and I might give them an answer and walk away. But most times, I just walk away. I only give them an answer if they get in my face. Now, with that said, I want to look at the concept that people have that's really a false concept. And to do this, we need to build a little foundation. I think we need to all realize that if we understand any truth, it doesn't come from our own intelligence. If we've studied the Bible at all, honestly, we can look through, like I say, the whole story flow of the Bible that I intend to cover and see that God has a purpose and that God calls individuals. In fact, from the time of Abel until the flood, Noah was the seventh preacher of righteousness, the seventh individual that God had worked through. Only seven. And we know the population of the earth was tremendous at the time of the flood. But God only worked through seven. Now, does that mean that they were better than the rest of the people? Well, if they were, it was only because God gave them understanding and gave them a desire to be obedient to Him, that He opened their mind so that they could see the whole picture instead of just seeing the tunneled vision of herd mentality. And so this is true when we come all through the Bible and we come to the New Testament church. It's really self-evident when you see that Christ, as He started His ministry, He went out and called 12 disciples. He didn't do the 144,000 that the book of Revelation talks about. He didn't do a million. He didn't do a whole city. He didn't go try to convert His hometown. When He got up in the synagogue and just read from the book of Isaiah about His God-given job that was revealed to Him by God, God's Spirit had opened that to Him. Because, and in that sense, we don't want to get off on another subject, but He was God, and He had the Spirit of God without measure. And we all have it with measure, but we'll understand that just like Christ called or elected those 12 disciples, He calls or elects everybody that He allows to understand His plan now, in this age, in this world. If you remember back, the prophet Elijah felt like he was the only one left in Israel that understood what God was doing and was trying to restore the priesthood and restore God's true religion in place of the paganism and Baal worship that was taking place. And God had to remind Elijah, said, I've reserved 7,000 people. God had elected or called 7,000 people to serve Him, to know the true religion. Now, those 7,000 people live their lives, and hopefully they remain faithful to God till death. We need to come to grips with that as an individual, that God didn't send us necessarily to teach the world. Now, as minister of Jesus Christ, it is my job to teach, but it's not my job to force feed. You don't cram it down people's throat. And when somebody brings up the subject of religion with me, I normally look the other way. Unless I can detect a spirit of sincerity that they want to change their lives, that they want to be obedient to God, that I have to detect some of that spirit of God. Because the human mind is really very rebellious against God. Like I said, the day Christ simply stood up in the synagogue and read the scripture, they tried to kill Him. He had to leave His hometown. I don't know that He really hardly ever went back there. He moved His home down to Capernaum on the Sea of Galilee. He operated out of there. He couldn't go up to Jerusalem very often because the people in Jerusalem, the scribes and the Pharisees, were these people that practiced adversarial, argumentative religion. They wanted to cram their religion down everybody's throat. And you see that in religion today. You look out at Western pagan-based Christianity, and you know, there's been times in the past where to save somebody, they would torture and kill them to be baptized. Now that's exactly what I'm talking about. And different church groups and organizations have that philosophy today. I will say that that has improved a little, but mainly because the population, and I'm talking about the world's religions, but I'm specifically talking about the religions of the United States of America, religion is less important to people today than it's ever been. It's something that you do if it's convenient. It's not a way of life, like the Apostle Paul said, that Christianity was a way of life, a way you live, what you do Monday through Saturday, and then people go to church on Sunday. It's as if the rest of the week is, and I'm talking about the modern Christian week, not the week of God's religion, which is Monday through Sunday through Saturday, and Saturday is the fourth commandment, seventh day, which makes people mad, I've had all sorts of slams about that. You know, I'm in business and people come around asking for contributions all the time, and we try to do legitimate causes, but people come in and ask for things about Christmas, and it makes them mad when you say, well, I can't do that. And occasionally usually I just don't really make an adversarial point of telling them exactly why, because I don't want to argue with them, and I don't want to, God has allowed free moral agency, and they have the right to do it wrong. You have to realize that God has allowed us all the right to do it wrong, and you have to pass that on to other people. And if you understand from the Word of God what you need to do, then do it and rejoice in it. Be happy about it. Be thankful to God that He has given you that knowledge and understanding. And don't try to cram it down other people's throats. Like I was saying, in religion in the United States, we'll just look at Protestantism primarily. But you've got all these churches, and I remember 50 or 60 years ago, it was quite different than it is today. It would be these churches that, and there still is, that if you don't believe just what I believe, if you don't walk in the door with us, you're going to hell. Only if you believe what I believe are you going to go to heaven. And of course, the whole thing, that both lie, there's no going to heaven, and the word hell is used in the Bible, and we've got plenty of articles on the website about that. Just the word hell comes from Hades, meaning the grave, and That's a subject in itself, but it doesn't gain anybody anything to fight. Now, I've known some ministers, even Church of God ministers, and individuals in the Church of God were very adversarial, that everything they taught it from a point of putting somebody down. I remember one individual, and I remember him from when he first began to understand the truth, and he was a nice person, and he really wanted to learn the truth. But he came to the point, as he learned truth, the way he believed in teaching the truth was cutting somebody off at the knees, just intimidating them, humiliating them, and that's not what it's about. If you'll notice, the individual with absolute authority to teach Christ, if you'll look at the Gospels, see how he dealt with the scribes and Pharisees. Now, he told them the truth bluntly up front. I try to practice that in my job as minister. I try to practice very bluntly and even authoritatively teaching the truth and putting it out there for people to either accept or not accept. That's like everybody listening to this today. It's your choice whether you pay any attention. All you got to do is turn it off or walk out of the room. It's your choice. Christ was very blunt with the scribes and Pharisees, but he didn't cut them off at the knees. He didn't go far enough to later prevent them from repenting. That's one reason that he left his own hometown, I think, is because had he revealed himself to them with power as much as he did down at Capernaum or Jerusalem, if he had done that in Nazareth, the whole town would have probably, including his own family, committed blasphemy against God, the unpardonable sin, because they would have known exactly who he was, and he didn't do that. And we have to realize, and that's what I say, I've had people try to argue religion with me. I've had other ministers try to argue religion with me, and I won't argue it. And I've had them send me letters that went up one side and down the other. And I'm courteous enough that I'll read at least the first page or the first two or three paragraphs. If it's a sincere letter and written from a correct perspective, because I might learn something. I'll read it all. If it's a real good one that makes sense and it's based on the Word of God, I'll keep it. I'll file it away and read it again. But if it's self-appointed religion, not based on the Word of God, I'll throw it away. And I've thrown away a lot more than I've ever kept. In fact, I'll be honest, I can't think of too many that I've kept. I've got a couple of three letters coming from sincere people wanting to be obedient to God that I've got stuck back and kept them because they were a refreshing thing to look at and to see somebody that really wanted to be obedient to God. I've had a couple ministers that would, from the previous organization that I used to be a member of, that have looked at our website and tried to argue with me about certain things that they didn't agree with. And I'll tell you right now, they were wrong, because what I had there was really based on the Word of God, and it's still there. But I didn't argue with them. In fact, some of them I've just returned their adversarial letters to them and said, I'm not going to argue. I am not going to argue with you. It doesn't do any good. It's a waste of time. It's non-productive, and it just doesn't accomplish anything. What am I saying? You should discuss religion with people? No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that you need to, when you discuss religion with anybody, you might say a little quiet prayer to God and ask him to give you the wisdom to say the right thing, do the right thing. Because after all, if religion's going to be worth anything to us, if we're going to learn anything from the Bible or the Word of God, we have to do what God wants, not what we want, or not what's going to make us feel good, or that's going to stroke our ego. That's not going to accomplish a thing. That's not going to get doing any good for anybody else, and it's not going to do any good for us. As an individual, you don't want to hurt yourself. You don't want to hurt other people. And so, what am I saying? Sum it up. Well, I guess God says it the best back in about Isaiah 66, and I'm not going to turn there today, but it says, to whom does God look? And it says that he looks to a person with a broken and contrite heart, somebody that is humble and appreciative of what they have. And so when somebody starts to teach you about God, that's one of the first things you need to see if they really practice it themselves, and if they have that broken and contrite spirit, or if they're proud and arrogant. And I'm not talking about being bold and blunt. Christ was bold and blunt, told the truth, didn't fudge on it a minute. I'm just talking about being subject to God and subject to God's rulership. That's what's important in religion. This has been James Throgmorton speaking to you for the Churches of God.